That was great. That was like a blast from the past. Very good. Well, let's pray as we're coming to Romans chapter 3. Thanks, guys, for reading those passages. That was very good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're a God who speaks and you haven't left us in the dark. As we have a look at this passage from your word, we pray that it wouldn't just be words on a page, but it would be your word to us. And even more than that, Father, that your spirit would illuminate our hearts, that we might be changed by your word. So, Father, speak, change us by your spirit, grow us to love you better, to see your Son more clearly, and to understand what he's done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to start this morning by looking at some bad guys. And the question is, can these bad guys be forgiven? Here's the first one. Voldemort. Can Voldemort be forgiven? He tried. Yes? No? He tried to kill Harry Potter and rule the world. Not sure whether he can be forgiven. What about this guy? Darth Vader. He tried to kill Luke Skywalker, and he also tried to kill Ewoks. So I'm not sure whether he can be forgiven. What about this one? Tay-Tay. Not sure she can be forgiven for what she's done, turning so many young girls into Swifties. It's ridiculous. Well, let's get a bit more serious. What about this guy? This guy killed over 6 million people in World War II. Do you think he could be forgiven? Not sure. What about this guy? He is trying to get rid of a whole country. Don't know if he could be forgiven. Can God forgive him and still be completely just and right? What about you? What about you? Can you be forgiven and God stays completely in the right? What about the guy who tied up three small children with cable ties because they were swimming in his neighbour's pool? What about the lady who left her baby in a very hot car for the whole day because she was at the casino? Could you forgive her? Could God forgive her and still be completely right as the perfect judge of everything? Just let her off the hook. That's the big question we're going to answer very briefly this morning. Because in this book, a bit of the Bible, we're shown that God can completely forgive you and still remain completely right. But we want to start with God, because that's where Romans 3 starts. So, first thing we see is God is in the right. He is always righteous. He is always in the right. See this? Romans chapter 3, verse 4. Let God be true and every person a liar, as it is written, so that God may be proved right when he speaks and prevail when he judges. That means when God speaks, he always speaks the truth. And when he judges, he always judges justly. But there's more to it about God's justice in this passage. He has actually revealed his justice to us. Did you see that? Romans 3:21 says, "But a righteousness from God has been revealed, made known to us, to which the law and the prophets," that's the Old Testament, "testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe." Now, the first thing we need to see is that God is in the right. He has righteousness. It's his. And he has revealed it to us. A few years ago, I was called up to jury duty. And so 12 of us had to make decisions about whether a person was innocent or guilty. And actually, they made me the foreman. I don't know why. So I had to stand up at the end, once we had all come to a conclusion, in front of the whole court, look the guy in the eye, and say innocent or guilty. It's quite a daunting thing. What we've got here in Romans is like this. It's a law court. Can you see it? What have we got there? We've got a judge. We've got a jury. We've got an accused man who has a mohawk. Not all the accused have mohawks. And we've got lawyers arguing. One lawyer's holding some paper or something there. The picture in Romans is like this. It's a law court. And the language is law language. And God is the perfect judge. So the first thing we've got to see is that God is the perfect judge. But the problem here is us. Where do we fit into this picture? Well, actually, we're accused, aren't we? We've got the orange jumpsuit on. God is in the right. We are in the wrong. Have a look there at chapter 3, if you've got your Bible open, verses 10 to 12. Up until now, Paul has just shown that absolutely everyone is in the wrong. He started with the obvious sinners. And he said, all these ungodly people, they have no excuse before God. They've turned away from God. They've exchanged the truth for a lie. And all the righteous kind of people look at that and go, yeah, Paul, tell them off. They're in the wrong. They're obviously ungodly. And we sometimes do that too. But then he's turned to us in chapter 2 and said, you do the same thing. And then he's bringing it all together in chapter 3 and saying, so, what's the summary of all this? Here it is. We already read it. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. No one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. So this is all from the Old Testament. He's grabbed a whole bunch of stuff from Psalms. And the point is, it's always been like that from the beginning. The Old Testament says it, the New Testament says it. There's no one righteous, not even one. And then he summarizes it for us in verse 23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What does that mean? It means I'm in the wrong. You're in the wrong. And the big question is, what's God going to do about it? How is he going to deal with my sin and still be righteous? Surely he can't just let us off. Something has to happen. Back to the law court. We're sitting in the dock. That's us right there, right, in the orange. God is the perfect judge. He can't just say, hey, Matt, don't worry about it. You're fine. Off you go. Something has to happen because I'm sitting there, you're sitting there, completely and utterly guilty. What is God going to do? Which brings us to the big point of chapter 3 and really Romans as a whole. God is in the right. We are in the wrong. But in Jesus Christ, this doesn't seem to be working very well. There it goes. In Jesus Christ, God makes us right even when we're in the wrong. And stays completely in the right. Have a look at how it goes on from here. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This is flicking too far. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. The big word there is justified. What does that mean? It means righteousified. Made right, completely not guilty. How does that happen? Through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. How does that happen? Well, let's break it down because that's what Paul does. Oh, why is this going like that? There we go. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. God has done something to make us right even when we're in the wrong. He has presented Jesus as a sacrifice of atonement. Now, most of us have heard that language before, but for some of us it might be strange. That's Old Testament language, and it flicks back to Leviticus. There it is. In Leviticus, on the Day of Atonement, the priest had to take, it was a dirty job being a priest back then. I'm so glad I'm not one of them. It was just gross. I couldn't have dealt with it. Really, I wouldn't have been one. There's no way I would have done it. Too much blood. What they had to do is take the animal and kill it and sprinkle the blood on the atonement cover. And what was that signifying? Because we read in the New Testament that the blood of bulls and goats can never atone for the sins of humans. What's it doing? It's preparing us to understand Jesus, to see how amazing it is that Jesus died for us. For the life of the creature is in the blood. That's where the life is. And I've given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It's the blood that makes atonement for one's life. Now, God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his what? Blood. So when Jesus dies on the cross, it's not just an example of God's love for us. A massive transaction is happening. God is sacrificing his son for your sins. Like the Old Testament priest had to go and sprinkle the blood, and he also sprinkled it on the people. How gross is that? Saying, this is for your sins. Jesus' death makes atonement for your sins, so that now you can be in the right even when you're in the wrong. I don't know if you've heard the story about the identical twins. They're called Martin and Morgan. And Martin and Morgan were identical twins, but that's where it ended. Martin was the model student. He grew up, he was did really well in high school, always listened to his parents. Morgan was a complete ratbag. And when he came through high school, he got into some problems and did some time in jail. And then when he became an adult, he unfortunately was convicted of murder and sentenced to death. And when Morgan was on death row, his brother Martin visited him in jail. And for some reason, they were left alone. And as soon as they were left alone, Martin started taking his clothes off. It's a bit weird, isn't it? And he's told his brother Morgan, take your clothes off. And they swapped clothes. And Morgan walked out. And Martin died for him. Isn't that amazing? Don't know if it's a true story. Anyway. Probably not. The point is, Jesus doesn't swap clothes with us. Jesus completely takes your place. He's your substitute. He dies your death so that you can live. Do you see what that means? He makes you righteous. There is nothing more that can happen. There's no more needed. And what that great exchange means is that God is not just the justifier, he's also just. That's what this says. Romans 3. God did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. God is in the right and the righteousifier. That's what justification is, right? He's righteousifying you. So, let's go back to the court. This seems to be working now, which is great. Now, we are in the dock. We are accused of wrong. So I'm sitting there. I'm in there. I know I'm guilty. My sin must be punished. And I'm about to be sentenced. And then Jesus stands up and he says, hang on. I've already been punished in full for this man's sin. There's no more punishment required. What happens then? I am swapped out for Jesus. Jesus is swapped out for me. If Jesus has been punished for my sin, how much more sin is left to be punished? None. There's no more sin. So that when you approach God, do you have to deal with your sin? No. You are right. Jesus stands up in the law court and says, I've served your sentence in full. I've taken it in full, completely. And God the Father turns to you and says, not guilty. Innocent. Righteous. Even though you're not. God is in the right. We're in the wrong. In Jesus Christ, God makes us right even when we're in the wrong and stays right. Do you get it? So let's finish up. If you're a Christian then, what does that mean? Because most of us have heard this many, many times. It means that you are 100% in the right. You are clothed with Jesus' righteousness. This must change who we are. If this is true, this will change how you see your own guilt. This will change how you see your own shame. This will change how you relate to your friends, your family, your own death. You'll see it completely differently. If you really, truly think you are in the right, you are righteous, changes everything, doesn't it? We must wake up each morning and preach this to our own hearts. Because I don't know about you, but I forget it. I wake up and just do stuff. Wake up and tell yourself, in Jesus Christ, I am in the right, even though I'm in the wrong. I am righteous. If you're not yet a Christian, can you see what this means for you? It is impossible for you to be right with God without Jesus' death on the cross for your sins. It is impossible for you to rock up before God and be right with Him on your own. It is impossible for you to be right by just coming to church, being baptized, confirmed, whatever it is. It's impossible for you to be right with God by just living life. You must grab hold of this gift. This is received by faith. Paul says it three times. By faith, by faith, by faith. How do we receive the gift? Faith. Trust. You must trust Jesus Christ. This morning, God is holding out a gift for us. He's saying, here is my righteousness. Do you want it? Most of us have received it. If you've received it, then live it. If you haven't received it, you need to. Do not leave here without receiving the gift of Jesus' righteousness for your sins. Trust in Him. Receive the gift. God is in the right. We are in the wrong. In Jesus Christ, God makes us right even when we're in the wrong. And He stays right. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that in Your mercy and grace, You have made us right, even when we're in the wrong, through faith in Your Son, Jesus, who came and lived the perfect life and died on the cross for us. Thank You that in Him we are righteous. Help us to live that out, Father, for any amongst us this morning who are not sure whether we are right with You. Help us to come to You, to trust in Your Son, Jesus Christ, and to be made right. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.